Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports the Adam Carolla Show. So when you're choosing a mortgage lender, work with someone you can trust. Rocket Mortgage. They are transparent and they have an online process that gives you confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. Securely share your financial info for a mortgage and get approval in just minutes. It's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to be sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. So whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, skip the bank, skip the waiting, do it completely online at quickenloans.com/Adam. That's quickenloans.com/Adam. Dawson.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Play It Loud's Brad Tolinsky, with Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and David Wild sits in on a new round of Hit or Shit. And now, he agrees with him, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on, got to get it on, no choice but to get on Monday, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks. We look at the ratings. We watch them go up every week, and it's all because of you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Paul Bryan.
Sometimes less is more.
David Wild in studio. Stayed Alive, a Grammy salute to the music of the Bee Gees, coming up Sunday.
Easter Sunday.
8 o'clock on CBS.
It's when disco rises again.
Disco shall rise on Easter.
Trying to send Jesus back into the tomb?
Yes, exactly. Barry Gibb, Ed Sheeran, Stevie Wonder, Panic at the Disco, who are amazing, Demi Lovato, Keith Urban, Celine Dion, and Tavares, who I personally had to fight. Adam, I think you must have been a Tavares fan.
Tavares sung... Oh, God. Well, wait a minute. I'm thinking of another band from the 70s.
Well, they probably hung out with Float on the Floaters.
They're like La Tierra or something like that.
It Only Takes a Minute, Girl.
To Fall in Love. Exactly. That's a great song. It's great bass line in that song.
Perfect.
Everyone probably thinks it's the OJs or the Temptations or something.
Right.
It's probably one of those bands where people go, oh, that must be this band. Like... But sorry, go ahead. Yeah, It Only Takes a Minute, Girl.
They had Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel.
That's a great song, too.
She's Gone. Before Hall & Oates had a hit with She's Gone, the first it was a hit for Tavares, who it was written by Hall & Oates, but Tavares made it a hit. And then the reason they're on the show is on the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, they do More Than a Woman along with the Bee Gees version, and their version was a hit on black radio. So when we were doing the show, I begged Ken Ehrlich. I said, we need Tavares, also because it's brothers, and the Gibb brothers, we only had Barry Gibb, so I wanted to get brothers.
Let me tell you what that sounded like, David Wild going, I need Tavares. Hey, if you can't get a boner, that's between you and your wife. Well, let's focus on the musical program, because it just sounds like some Pfizer Upjohn came up
they
with.
Are touring with they're touring with Cialis, I think.
Tavares, yeah, Cialis is opening for Tavares. It Only Takes a Minute, Girl is disco-y, but it's... It's disco-y, great. But it's good disco-y.
Ooh, funky.
I want to dance on a light-up floor.
But it's so not good. That it doesn't hold up disco-y. Yeah,
it's a little like Are You Man Enough by the Four Tops, which is another one of my favorite songs of all time.
You guys know this song?
Nope.
Not yet.
It's going to kick in.
I know I can't sit still while I hear it.
Except they weren't from Motown. They were Rhode Island, the kings of Rhode Island soul. Here it goes.
It only takes a minute, girl, to fall. familiar?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. That's a hit.
Is it? This song swings.
I don't remember it, but I like it.
Here's where I go into the robot. Turn it up.
I just go around the room.
Prove it.
Try it. So this and Heaven Must Have... What was
Heaven
it?
Must Be Missing an Angel.
Yeah, that's a good one. Now
She's
gotta find
Gone.
That one.
There's more. There's one called, I think, Who Done It. But we were trying to find the right contemporary act who would sing with them to sort of make it multi-generational. And we got Jason Derulo. But I remember
Bruno Mars called you. Fine, I'll do it.
I think we might have made that ask at the Grammys.
Shock.
And it's great. The show is great. And working with Travolta was kind of like... I had the 8-track tape as a little kid, like Travolta fever, you know. I'm the one who loved his song Letter In. I don't know if you remember the John Travolta song.
I love Letter In because it was way before all this autocorrect stuff going on with the syntho and everything, because there's a part about minute 47 in where he goes, gonna let her in. Like, it's like they just kind of left it.
He does full Peter Brady.
Here we go.
Oh, here it is. Listen. Gonna open up. This is it. Gonna open up.
Little pitchy dog.
Well, they fix that now.
Exactly. I think it's fantastic, though.
I do. You got to let her in.
It's like a Lost Bread song. I love it. So, like, I spent, like, you know, half an hour with John Travolta talking about Let Her In, and he's like, he kept on, like, waiting for me to wink because he thought, like, he knew I was, like, a music writer, and he said, you don't really love this. I know. I love John Travolta.
Wow. Is Fran Drescher going to come on and ask if he's as good in bed as he is on the dance floor?
you're the only person I know since we were working on that project who knew that she's in the movie.
Really? Oh, yeah, I love that.
I kept on bringing it up because we were on CBS and, you know, she was the nanny.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, no one knows she's in the
Damn
movie.
It.
I'm like, yeah.
Everybody knows.
So we need Heaven's Missing an Angel or something.
Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel.
Right, right. We need that
well,
Tavares.
Plus, She's Gone. You got it. She's Gone is fantastic. Oh, Tavares is going to be very happy. They don't get a lot of podcast play.
Was this song covered? Because this is a pretty big hit that even I know.
This was their hit. No, this is their big hit.
Why does the very beginning sound like People's Court? The plaintiff
it
in
does.
This case.
Does the well.
They may have been ripped off, sampled. Here we go.
Six-minute song?
Tool tune in the, 70s disco era.
Yeah, the windows go up when you play this song.
But the panties come down. Heaven must be missing an angel.
When I suggested we book them, Ken Ehrlich was like, okay, they can't still be able to do it because just the years we got. And like we kept on going. The way you do it now is you go on YouTube and you try to find the most recent performance.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think there's four brothers, one who has been ill. And like I kept on like literally spending every day trying to find, okay, here they are in, you know, at a casino 4 months ago. Look.
Right.
And convincing him that they could pull off. They were fantastic. They were great.
One brother's in a wheelchair just spinning.
This song's awesome.
You know this song.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, this is like to me, it's sort of like the Spinners who, if Adam and I were to take a road trip with it, which is his worst nightmare, that's the one group that I think, that's the group I can listen to forever.
All you have to do is get the best of the Spinners. And you'll just love every song, and you go, "Oh, they did this song and that song and that song and this song, and they did all of them,
the best."
Yep. All right, so that's coming up. That airs on Sunday,
CBS, 8 o'clock Sunday, Easter Sunday. Staying Alive. Please watch.
All right, and now we're going to play the game, and the game is hit or shit. And we take the songs. Of today.
Popular songs.
Popular
charting
songs. Yes. And we try to figure out what my take is or my reaction is going to be to this song. And I think we're going 1 through 5 now.
You're
going to
give it a rating. 5 loved it, 1 hated it, somewhere in between perhaps.
Right.
We'll try and guess a la Rotten Tomatoes score, and much like Rotten Tomatoes, closest to your score at the end of the round.
Right.
Wins.
All right, you got it.
And your team is working this game to make it work like they're NASA. Like they're working, they're trying to, you know.
Got the calculations correct.
It's like Apollo 13. Like the first time we did it, the songs were all like 98 on the charts, but they're gradually getting big hits. We're maybe paying more for the big top hits.
All right. Yeah, no, we're you know, it's taken a little break-in period.
Finagling.
Yes, a little finagling.
As your people call it.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, let's do it.
Records. Cassette tapes, CDs, iTunes, and YouTube. No matter the format, Adam's had an opinion on modern music.
There's the stuff that's new, which sucks, and then there's the stuff which is new, which sounds old, which you don't mind because it sounds old.
It's time to see what new music he thinks should be number one.
This is punk rock, man.
And which are piles of number two.
This stuff sucks.
In a round of hit or shit.
Bucka, 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 bucka. Yeah, you too, everybody. All right, what's up first, Austin?
All right, all these songs currently charting on the Billboard Hot 100. Our first song, the artist is Lord. And the song is Green Light, currently sitting at number 55.
She works in mysterious ways.
She can sing, right?
But I hear sounds in my mind. New sounds in my mind, but honey, I'll be seeing you ever I go. But honey, I'll be seeing you down every road.
I'm waiting for it.
All right, we got it. Should I write my number down?
We'll think of your number, and then we'll discuss your number.
All right.
Now you're evaluating the song as a pop hit, not that would Adam Carolla pop this on the radio himself and listen to it.
Yeah, but I think there's elements of everything in there. We can't simply just go, well, I wouldn't listen. This is my daughter to listen to it. I'm going to go listen to the Jayhawks. That's not fair. But there's elements of, well, would I mind if this was playing in the car with my daughter? And it won't be that cut and dried.
Okay.
But there's not much science.
Let's assume Tavares is always six, so then five would be the high.
Right.
The unreachable six, like absolute zero. You can't get there.
You can't get to Tavares.
Theoretical only.
All right, what do you think, Brian?
I guessed a four. This is this song has some good elements. I think Adam can get down with this.
See, I don't mean to be milquetoast right out of the gate, but I went with a safe three because I think it's a nice song that builds, but I don't think she's really showcasing her talents in this current song.
Mm-hmm.
David?
I go with four as well. I think it's, again, Adam, I think is going to be, would have been on the 3-4 sort
cusp.
Of cusp.
But there's instruments you can hear.
Yeah, and you can sing, and she can sing. And Adam likes a great female voice he likes.
Madonna's daughter's come a long way. Those young days. I'm guessing it's the same person.
Nickname, Lord.
Right? Okay. Yeah. I'm on a roll. Don't jump in. I like the acoustic piano. I like someone who can actually sing. I do like the ladies. I like Sia, for instance.
Yeah, she's great.
And, God, she'd be the perfect person to break up with.
Sia. Yes, I'm here. You keep saying my name and backing away.
Sia.
Get closer. I can barely hear you.
Sia.
Through my hair. That's over my
down
face.
The road, Jack.
Damn it.
Oh, Jack would be a good person to break up to. Now, if she was dating a guy named Jack.
How does she not have an album called Wouldn't Want to Be Ya?
That would be a great concept album.
Wow. All right. The number that popped in my head was four. And then I said, I think I like a little more. I said 4.5. And I don't know if the half's going to screw.
Half?
It's going to screw Gary. I'll just go four.
Damn it!
Because I liked it.
Yes.
I liked the musicality of it. I liked the billing. I liked the acoustic piano.
5 point deduction for me.
Okay. And now that you've said your score, I can make you take it down because you know who produced it, wrote it. I think with her.
The scores are locked in.
Oh, yes. One of the Beastie Boys.
Jack Antonoff, who is Lena Dunham's boyfriend, who is
fun,
and now Bleachers.
That's not enough to hate.
Okay, no I love enough. Him. I think he's a very talented guy.
All right. What else?
This next track is sitting at number 11 on the Billboard Hot 100. It's Future and Mask Off.
Graduated, I was overdue. I'm overdue. Pink money, I can barely move. Ask about me. I'm gonna bust a move.
James, 33 chains, 33 Ocean now, yeah. Cruising Biscayne, hit fire, top off, yeah. That's a liability, bit fire, hit the gas, yeah. Boosting my adrenaline, bit fire, Percocet, yeah. Molly Percocet, bit fire, Percocet, yeah. Molly Percocet, bit fire, rep the set, yeah. Gotta rep the set, gang, gang. Chase a chick, yeah. Never chase a bitch, bit fire, mask on, yeah. Fuck it, mask off, a bit fire, mask on, yeah. Fuck it, mask off, bit fire, Percocet, yeah. Molly Percocet, bit fire, chase a chick, yeah. Never chase a bitch, chase no bitches. Photo maybe, I drive anything, yeah. Rhyme a range, yeah.
Make Austin go Trance.
They are words to live by, though.
All right. Venture a guess.
Chase a chick, never chase a bitch.
Went on for a long time, so he wasn't annoyed by it. I'm gonna say.
Don't go off on that. I'm just kind of sometimes waiting. Trying to get to the hook or wherever we're going here. I'm not. Don't go length. Okay. Don't factor in length.
I'm gonna go two because I don't think you hated it. If a rap song came on and you're in the bar, you can do a lot worse than this. So I'm gonna say two.
All right.
I also said two. I think it's humorous, and I think it'll get some points just for being funny, kind of to us. But I don't think you hated it.
Mm-hmm.
Two.
Two. Okay. My thoughts, and no one can ever change my thoughts, which is...
You agree with you?
I agree with me. I know what's going on in every form of art, which is...
Oh, boy!
Every form of art, which is... It's my Yoko Ono theory, which is...
Grandiose.
If you could do what Whitney Houston could do, you'd be doing it, mm-hmm. but you can't do that. And if you could write music, read music, sing music, had a voice, played an instrument, do whatever, you wouldn't do this music. This music has been invented, like spelling words incorrectly and deciding that's the way it's spelled. Mm-hmm. It's in lieu of learning how to spell, you just go, this is the new way you spell it, and then you've made the world come to you. It's kind of diabolical. It's a little what Phil Rosenthal does with his show. I like travel.
I like
eating. Somebody film it. I'll get paid for it. This is a music version of that.
That was not a drop of Phil, everyone. That was Adam doing.
Which is them going, I can't sing, and I'm too lazy to play an instrument, but what I can do is sample and get high and talk, and then we'll create a new form of music, and then I can be a musician.
And what's funny is you've exactly nailed the truth. That's exactly how Phil thinks.
That's what he thinks about music. So, That said... I like the 60s jazz flute in the background, but I'm assuming that's just pulled off of something. So, but then is there some points to pulling the right weird kind of, what was that, a jazz flute from the 60s that
probably
seemed
like
to be in the background?
Laws or whatever, yeah, one of those guys.
God, I was toggling between a one and a two here. I'll go two because Brian's right. There's room for more hatred.
Yes, there could be a lot worse.
There could be a lot worse.
You always have room for more hatred.
There's always room for more hatred. That's right.
Our next superstar sitting at number 49 on the Billboard Hot 100. This is Luis Fonsi featuring Daddy Yankee.
Yes.
The song Despacito.
The king of reggaeton.
Oh, boy. Oh,
Adam loves reggaeton.
I 4-5 DY. Oh, oh no, oh no. Oh, yeah. Go. Sí, sabes que ya llevo un rato mirándote. Tengo que bailar contigo hoy. DY. Vi que tu mirada ya estaba llamándome. Muéstrame el camino que yo voy. Oh, tú eres el imán y yo soy el metal. Me voy acercando y voy armando el plan. Solo con pensarlo se acelera el pulso. Oh yeah. Ya me está gustando más de lo normal. Todo mi sentido va pidiendo más. Esto hay que tomarlo sin ningún apuro.
Despacito. I got it.
You had enough.
So that's Fonzie featuring Mr. C.
Dr. T.
Mr. T. Mrs. C.
Mr. C.
Waka waka.
What is that? That's Fonzie.
That is Luis Fonzie featuring Daddy Yankee.
All right, not Mr. Cunningham. Okay. All right. All right. Okay.
I saw them live at the Holocaust Center. They were fantastic.
Too soon.
Oh, David, please.
I didn't find a lot offensive about that song. I thought it was kind of pleasant for the most part.
You were swaying.
I know. I just kind of enjoyed it.
I have video.
I don't think... I'm going to say 3. I don't think you hated that song.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I also said 3. I found it quite enjoyable, but I know you have a little bit of a disdain for certain types of world music, so I had to bring it down a little bit to a 3.
I think no one is more open to the world of music than Adam Carolla, and I'll say that to his face. I say 3 as well.
Okay.
Well, for me and my views about world music is the same views I have about dessert, which is you fucks can't make it. So stop trying and let us handle it. But the same with TV shows and stuff like that. I hate ranchera music, and I hate soco music, and I hate all that kind of music. That being said, good acoustic guitar, good voice. And I kept...
pleasant vibe?
And you know what's made me swing toward the positive is the whole Fast and Furious series. I pictured Vin Diesel walking on the beach
with a Corona,
the whole time
with
a Corona and some chants. Some
chants.
Yeah, but the chants were like a cotton chant, you know, like a white cotton chant. And him just walking on some Caribbean beach drinking a Corona. So I was picturing Fast and Furious.
It's not ass-kicking Vin. It's a beach-walking Vin. You know, he's got the linen shorts.
Life-pondering Vin.
Yeah. Right. It's right before he gets the phone call going, where are you? You know, when the phone, that's always interrupted with a phone call. And
in fact, the new Fast and Furious movie has a song by Pitbull, your favorite, J Balvin, who's a big Latin star, and my favorite, Camila Cabello, who's this girl from Fifth Harmony, and it's like a great. It's exactly like that kind of cool Latin party song that you're gonna
makes
love.
You want to drink Corona weirdly with one finger.
Exactly. All right, I was between 3 and 4, but because we already did it and everyone went 3 this time, I'm gonna go 4 and surprise everybody.
Damn it.
That's right.
It's a pleasant song.
Mixing it up. Good song. I like that song. All right.
Up next, The Weeknd teamed up with Daft Punk for the number 7 song this week, I Feel It Coming.
Body shake and the heat between your legs. You've been scared of love and what it did to you. You don't have to run. I know what you've been through. Just a simple touch. We don't have to rush when you're alone with me. I feel it coming,
all right.
Was that the hook? Oh, boy.
I think that's it.
Stop swaying him, Brian.
Do you have to get together with Daft Punk for that?
I was going to say. I got to get rid of Casio.
Yeah. All right. You guys locked in?
Yeah.
Yes.
Brian?
Not much there either way. 2.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
I went the other way. I think, at least in this song, sounds very much like Michael Jackson. The guy can obviously sing. The ambient vibe in the back I thought was kind of cool. Nice, cool breeze vibe. I don't think you find this offensive. I said 4.
Go stand in the lobby of a W hotel.
Never.
Yeah.
We had this song on the Grammys with Daft Punk and The Weeknd, and we actually had Paris Jackson introduce it
because it
reminded us of it had that Michael Jackson vibe. I think Adam liked it and likes the fact that Weeknd can really sing. There's that little sort of unnecessary auto-tune, fake auto-tune thing that might have set him back. So I gave it a 3.5 for Adam.
Super precise.
Whole numbers only, sir.
Yeah, whole numbers
whole
only.
Numbers.
Oh, then I will give it a 3 for Adam.
I had it at a 3. I liked it. I liked that he can sing, but it was very, do we need this song? Mm. Like, we have Michael Jackson and everything else that came before it, and I just feel like no real hook, nothing really to hang your hat on. Like, fine. Like, just fine. Mm-hmm. Guy's got talent. Don't feel like it's a necessary song.
If I can make the argument, we have Michael Jackson, but there's a generation that, like,
that's
true. Has grown up buying music since he was gone. So,
well, I agree, but my kids love Simon Garfunkel.
Right.
And they love songs like Kodachrome.
Exactly.
They just love kids. You play them. Kids are very pure, and they understand, like, really good harmonies and hooks and things. Like, you'll find there's a kind of just – that's why kids all love the Beatles.
Right.
You know, even though the Beatles are 100 years old and their grandpa's band and everything like that, play to any five-year-old. They all love the Beatles because when you're good, you just kind of cut through.
Sure, absolutely.
It's like you show a six-year-old boy a Ferrari. He loves a Ferrari. Right. It's not like, oh, he's six. He's not Italian. He can't appreciate this design. Oh, no. Really good design.
Yeah, absolutely.
And really good art just kind of cuts through. And later on, your palate's got to change a little bit or whatever it is. But you play them like the Paul Simon stuff and the Simon and Garfunkel stuff and the Beatles and bands like and Beach Boys.
I took my son to see Brian Wilson, and I was like, it totally connected with him. And then there's a new Pet Sounds documentary on Showtime I've been part of, and he sat and watched it with me because it's great stuff.
They completely respond to it. So no reason not to play them the old stuff, especially in this digital age. All right, I don't know what the score is here. We got one more?
Wait, did you give a score?
Oh, did I give a three?
Yeah,
I think I gave a three, yes.
All right, Ed Sheeran's Shape of You is still number one, so we'll close today's game with the number two song in the country, Kendrick Lamar's Humble. Quit your BM, I still rock Mercedes funk. If I quit this season, I still be the greatest funk. My left stroke just went viral. Right stroke, put a baby in a spiral. Soprano C, we like to keep it on the high note. It's levels to it, you and I know. Bitch, be humble. Hold up, bitch, sit down. Hold up, be humble. Hold up, bitch, sit down. Be humble. Bitch, sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Bitch, sit down. Be humble. Sit down.
All right, I went big for the win and also to avoid a tie. I said one. There's not much to there's not much to like there.
That was my strategy, and I thought you'd hate it. Should I go two since you went one?
Yeah, do whatever you want.
All right.
Well, whatever. All right. Whatever.
I'm going to stick with one. I think you really dislike this song.
I think, Adam, the theme of bitch be humble, you know, be humble,
quiet,
shut up. Goes right to the core of
that's
Adam.
That's who I am. That's my essence.
It's your essence. I'm saying it's his motto. It's his mantra. It's his hashtag. I'm going to give it at least, I'll stay two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Tough, but ultimately I went with one because I just don't find any musicality to it at all.
Bitch,
and
sit down?
I was thinking about like, well, look, it's just a white guy thing, but I'm pretty sure that if you took any of the black musicians of yore and all the guys you thought of as geniuses, Bird or whoever from back in the day, or
if you got Chuck Berry, 2 weeks ago,
yeah, or Miles Davis or something like that, and you went, this is now your music, this is black music, and you played it to them, they'd never stop throwing up. I think they'd hate it too. So I don't think it's just the blue-eyed devil that's seeing this. I just don't see it as musical. I give it a one. What do we have? Do we have a score?
Ooh. Yes, on our scale of 1 to 5, Brian, you came within 2 points of Adam's score. Gina Grad, you came just outside of that, 3 points. David Wild, do we have enough to win? You were also 2 points away from Adam's score, so once again, we end in a tie.
That was a tough one.
Just one loser. Thank you very much.
All right. Let's bring it home here. If there is
just so I can speak up for Kendrick.
Keep your eyes on the pop
charts.
Wow, that guy sucks.
And your ears on Adam.
That song sucks too.
To find out if today's tunes are hit or shit.
You think we'll ever have a 5?
It's possible. I got to tell you, that first or second song, I was getting close with Madonna's daughter over there. Yeah.
Did you guys see Popstar, the movie with Andy Samberg, came out in the summer?
Yeah.
Yes. The mockumentary.
He's a Bieber.
I forgot the
name
of it.
There's a song. The soundtrack was fantastic, and there's a song, I think, called Humble. Humble is all the great things he's done, but the chorus is so humble. It's pretty good.
I was cut out of that movie.
Really? Oh.
Were you in that movie?
This is a true story. Judd had, they'd sort of done the initial production. Then they called and said, we really want you to come in, play yourself like the pretentious rock critic in a lot of documentaries.
Play yourself?
Yes, exactly. And I said, should I be a slightly douchier version of myself? And it was Andy and the guys, the lonely Island guys called me in, and I spent a day, and that guy called saying, this is great. This is great. You're all over the movie. You're all over the movie. And then they said, can you come back in for more? And I said, sure. And then they said, okay, we don't need that. And then when they edited, they gradually, it was like, you're all over it. Mm-hmm. And then
we're less all over it.
And I was less over it. Then I was not in it at all. And I was depressed to go see it. And then I loved it. And I saw it with my son, and he goes, that movie is so good, and it's so much better because you're not in it. And I said, you're right. I can't even be angry at that. I love that movie.
I watched it last night.
What?
Yeah, well, it was on cable.
Oh, I was going to say, what are the chances?
It was just on, and I watched
Connor for real.
I watched a lot of it. And it, there's
– like, he reads the positive reviews from The Onion. It's like, let's say they're mixed. The mixed reviews.
I always want to – you know, one of my things I kind of want to tell people – I don't know if they listen. When a comedian can parody your stuff and actually make stuff that's as good, sometimes even better.
Those are good songs.
Then your stuff is not that good. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, because you can kind of you can like parody a Led Zeppelin song, but you can't make a better Led Zeppelin song if you're a comedian. I loved Spinal Tap, but they weren't making songs that were better than those songs. They were doing great little twists on them. But to me, the art, the talent level and the art is not quite there when Andy Samberg can actually do the same stuff.
And you know what? The title didn't pop out at me at first because I forgot the whole title is Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stoppin'.
The greatest.
I love that.
Good
too.
Rotten Tomatoes score, too.
I know, what was the run? Oh, it's weird. It's a movie that just kind of got lost a little bit, but it's a funny movie. All right, I'll tell you guys about True Car. That's right. Shopping for a car, make sure you're getting the real price on actual inventory. People configure cars online, and then they find out it's not available. Not for you. You go to True Car, real pricing on actual inventory, not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from an actual True Car certified dealer. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So if you're going new, if you're going used, doesn't matter. You got True Car. And their users save an average of $3,000 off of MSRP. So when you're ready to buy and you want to go apples to apples in your comparisons, go online. Go to TrueCar.com. See what others are paying in your neighborhood, in your area. And during this real time, and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. It is True Car. All right, a couple quick questions, and we'll go to break. Let's see. I'll just start at the top and work our way down. Chris, Brooklyn, 48.
Yep, that's me. Oh, Adam.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what to do. That's me, yep.
What's going on?
So I called a little while ago. Remember, I was up for a big six-figure job. It was going on for 3.5 months. It's they love me. They email, going to make you an offer.
Yeah.
Then 2 weeks later, boom, automatic email, no job for Chrissy.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing I can think is that they contacted my former employer, who I worked with for 15 years, but at the very end, I mean, we hated each other. There's, that's a fact, Jack. So what do I do from here? I didn't even list her on the application. Do I have to find somebody and pay them to pretend to be my employer? Like, I'm now going to drive a bus for the rest of my life now.
That's right. You're the bus driver. Not the full-size bus driver, more the van-size bus driver, right?
Yes, yes, yes. I'm the lowest of the bus drivers, yes.
You know, the bus is like the diaper. You start off there and you end up there.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? You got the bus full of 7-year-olds and you got the bus full of 89-year-olds. You know what I mean? Hopefully, in between, you can put together 65 years of not going near a bus.
It's young man, poor man. It's young man, old man.
Young man, old man. The diaper and the bus.
Yep.
And so somebody, you there, Chris?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm here.
I imagine it's just common practice now for everyone just to hop on the computer, find out where you worked, and contact somebody.
Yeah, because technically, you never know what they really do, but technically, they're not allowed to ask, like, what kind of employee you were. It was, did you work there? Was it for this long? I think that's about all they're allowed to ask.
Yeah, but they'll figure out which way the wind is blowing. And
5 long years.
Yes, right. And
yes, exactly, yeah.
Right. And so it used to be, I mean, hell, there was a hit country song and a fantastic movie called Take This Job and Shove It.
Johnny Paycheck.
And great everybody, songs. It was a rite of American passage to tell your boss to fuck off, like the day you left. And even if it was a good enough 70s movie, punch him out. You know what I mean? Yep. They'd do something like a walk to the door and they'd go, and he'd go, I forgot something.
What's
and
that, Bill?
And the guy turned around and boom, just a cold cock. And then, a lot of movies used to end with just a cold cock.
Yep. Freeze frame.
Yeah, freeze frame, of course.
A lot of porn films end with a cold cock.
Easy.
You know, it probably hasn't been brought up before.
Sometimes less is more.
Cobra ended up by walking up to a superior officer and punching him out. Yeah, before, now you got to find that, Gary.
Of course.
Cobra punched out his guy before he went and got on one of the guys'
hogs. This is the second day in a row your podcast has ended with a Cobra reference.
How many Stallone movies end with him punching out someone?
Well,
several.
Many.
Back in the 70s and 80s.
Ironically, not Fist.
They do the thing where the guy would turn around, he'd start to walk away, he'd stop, he'd think about it, like he'd turn around and boom, it cold cock him. And there was never any repercussions. Like nobody got a fractured orbital socket, was sued them for everything they owed or whatever. Wait, here's the end of it. He's about to get, Cobretti's about to jump on the bike. One of the many inconsistencies for Cobra is when he was going inside a supermarket to get a madman, he wore sunglasses, but when he rode a hog on a day where there were no clouds in the sky, he did not wear sunglasses. So,
no windscreen either.
Gary, you may have picked it up from after him punching the guy.
Speaking of great ways to quit, I remember I had a friend in college who worked at Blockbuster, and he hated his manager so much that he took a water bottle and put all this crap in it and all this like effervescent whatever and shook it up and drank it and went in on and puked on his boss's desk and left.
Wow.
That was a really
commitment.
Grand story.
Commitment.
All right. Well, now we got to, Gary, do us everyone a favor, please. Don't just run the clip when Gina's in the middle of talking about her friend yakking on the bus. You can hang on to it for a second. Hey, Gary, you can just wait, and then we'll roll it. Yes? All right, don't be passive aggressive. Don't just roll as fast as you get it. Gina's talking. We're not gonna get it. All right, so here he is. He's saying goodbye to his boss.
It's not your style. No hard feelings.
And he's leaving. He's coming back. Shaking his hands. Leaving again.
No hard feelings, pal.
And he holds him up. That's a power move.
That was great. He wouldn't let him fall.
I'm sorry. You cold cock a guy in glasses, and his glasses are still on, though.
He didn't do it right.
All right.
He just announced he's starting a film, United Security. He's going to have a similar
one. Punches every day.
Chicago Airport.
Yeah, Chicago Airport.
So, Chris.
Yes.
Yeah, so this dream of transporting the elderly has been dashed.
Yeah, well, no, I continue to transport the elderly. My dream of not making $27,000 a year has been dashed.
What are you making a year now transporting the elderly?
That's it. I make $27,000 a year now. I live in Brooklyn. It's very expensive. Mm-hmm. This job I was up for was $100,000.
That's
what I'm saying.
Why so much for driving an 8-seat van?
I think she's getting out of the van driving business.
That's it. I'm getting out of the van driving business, going back into the corporate bureaucracy that I lived in for a long time.
Uh-huh. And what was that? What did you do there?
It's like a hospital administration.
Oh, okay.
Deal with United clients only, United passengers.
Can you ask this employer or former or possible employer, what it is, be courteous, but go, can you tell me what went wrong? It seemed like things were going down the right tracks here.
If you could provide me with any insight.
Yes.
Yes. I was going to do that right before I called, but I said, you know what, let me check with Adam first.
Smart.
See if that's a good idea.
Prudent thing to do.
Yes,
true.
I think you should say, I respect your decision, but it also, I would look at it as you doing me a favor so that I could learn from this experience and see if there was something that stood out or something that helped you make your decision that perhaps I could alter.
And I won't accept we just decided to go another direction.
Right. And then say, see ya!
Put that in the email?
All right, thank you. Go ahead. I don't know.
Put that in the email!
I think you gotta see
show
if you
up
get
at the office.
The
show up at the place
with a
that's
placard.
Right.
Yeah,
an extendo van. All right, let's talk to Mike 30, Las Vegas. Mike,
Ace Man, get it on.
What's going on, man?
Hey, quick side note, man. Just to let you know, love what you're doing. I got my son, my 12-year-old son, listening to you religiously now. Ooh, and also everyone I work with. So, yeah, just love what you're doing, man. But my question was, I live out here in Las Vegas, and every convenience store has slot machines in it. So back in the day, if the cashier didn't have change to break 100, we would always just drop a $100 bill in those machines. Well, now they put signs up saying on every single one of them that we're not supposed to do that anymore. Well, the problem is when you go up to these cashiers, you know, these young cashiers, they have an attitude when you ask them to break the change every single time. I literally went to 3 different stores trying to break a $100 bill the other day and got an attitude like, you know, it was a problem from every single one. So I just wanted to know what you thought that was.
Were you trying to buy something, or were you trying to just get change?
Or play the slots.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, though, too, is, like, I've been offered to buy something, and they were just like, oh, no, sorry, I don't have the change in my drawer to do so.
I don't know. What's worse, the too low for your credit card mm-hmm. or your bill is too high? I've had this problem, too, where I've had a $100 bill, and I've wanted to break it, but don't seem to want to break it. By the way, sad state of affairs when there's signs everywhere like, this cab driver carries less than 20 cents. Like, we have to keep posting, like, dear humanity,
please
would like to stab everybody and rob everybody all the time. We have no money. Like, this Taco Bell has less than $14 in its cash register. Like,
have mercy, sirs.
Just a weird, and then you see the one that says, you know, hide it, lock it, keep it. The LAPD, yeah. Like, oh, we're done doing our job. You start patrolling your own neighborhood. Like, okay, everyone's a thief.
You see the signs on cars sometimes, just handwritten sign, nothing of value in trunk.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of a sad state of affairs. The breaking of the $100 bill was an awesome thing from the past, and then the actual breakdown of the breaking, where you go 4 20s, yep, and then 110 and 2 5s, like when you could really just get it down to how you want it, or 5 singles or whatever it is, and then if you got into the singles, you had to drop 1 or 2
sure.
on whoever yeah. broke it down.
The trouble.
I just look at it as the sort of increasing sort of breakdown of our general society, Mike, but also, is there anything more depressing than slot machines in places where slot machines aren't supposed to live?
Like airport terminals?
Airports and AM/PM mini yeah. markets mm-hmm. and stuff. Like, it feels grocery very stores. Sad to me. Yeah. It feels weird and sad to me.
Yep.
Always next to the
jerky. It's probably sad in the other main places, but it's not as apparent how sad
I don't
is.
Know. When I see just the endless aisle of them in the casino or whatever, I'm not depressed. Mm-hmm. When I see the two yeah. sitting next to each
that's,
other
that's
at the
car
AIDS
wash.
Hospice yeah. or, you know, that. Well, what have you? I don't
AIDS
know.
Wash.
I AIDS wash. Well, let's combine the two.
Yeah, yeah, the hospice casino is a great
the
concept.
Coin op AIDS
the
wash.
Nurses come up. They're shot girls, and they give you a shot out of a beaker.
All right, let's plow through.
I did
yes.
go to one ATM recently that gave you your choice between getting a 20 and a 10.
Mm.
That was very exciting.
That is progress. Jerry, 42. Budapest, Hungary. What? Jerry?
Yeah, I'm standing on a street. Can you hear? Is there going to be a delay, Adam?
Okay, I gotcha.
I am just standing on the street right now in Budapest, and while I was eating dinner, I thought of how much... I listen to your show every day, so hello, Brian and Gina, of course,
hey.
And David.
Hi.
I don't think you're pretentious at all, David.
I don't think so either.
Brian's got the pretentious part locked down. You're clear
shots
number two.
Fired.
You're damn right.
He's a snob. He's not pretentious.
Yeah, there's a big difference.
Yes.
You wouldn't know.
I'm here on my honeymoon, so when we were eating, it made me think, obviously, of you,
mm-hmm.
but of...
That's a worrying sign on a honeymoon.
Yeah. What are you eating? Right. Eating in some no kettle?
Well, no kettle-y, covered yes. in beef goulash.
Mm.
That's a 42-year-old move, is to go to Hungary on your honeymoon.
Yeah, now you have heritage there, your wife, perhaps?
No heritage at all, not even the wife. We... actually been traveling Europe, and this is our third stop, so
nice.
Excited.
Well, tell us about Hungary. I've never been there.
I like the food.
My grandfather used to go every year, and he used to bring home sacks of paprikasha because he couldn't get
yes.
whatever the good stuff was. Oh. It was all stepped on here with cayenne pepper or something like that, baby laxative or something. But he would bring home a sack of pepper.
Pure.
Yeah.
Uncut.
Yeah, he was like Marco Polo or something, who's opening up spice. The spice trade. But I imagine you could go to Amazon and get it now. But I'm telling you, I got the Big Boar grater and the sliding funnel thing, and I was making the no kettle at home the other day, and it came out spectacularly. And Olga made some like beef stew, just regular sort of cowboy stew, and just dumped that over it. Yeah. It's all good. But what is the city like? What's the town like? What's the vibe like there?
Well, we got in here tonight. I was a little worried because they're protesting the European Union. So I have a friend that met us here. He lived here for a couple of years, and so I thought for sure he let us into a tear gas situation where I was going to end up ball gagged somewhere. But luckily, that didn't happen.
Fingers crossed.
Maybe mm-hmm. later on tonight.
Still time.
Aim high for the honeymoon.
Is I'm guessing they. Well, wait a minute. They want to get out of the union too, or somebody wants to get out of the union?
I'm not sure. I was watching a little bit of the news while we were in Venice, and I remember him saying something about Hungary was protesting something with the EU, and they're not. I don't know if they're official members or not. We haven't been paying in euros. We've been paying in kronor, or what is it?
It's got to be the ultimate insult.
They're having the big EU meeting, so that's probably what's going on. It's just,
exactly.
It's got to be the ultimate insult to the European nation, where they're like, oh, you guys want us in the union? Ah, we're good. Yeah, we're here already. We just kind of join. Well, yeah, if you want. I mean, it's no big deal. We're focusing a little more on Germany and France right now. Well, we could bring some goulash and some no kettle.
Austria kind of has that covered. I mean, we got, you know, that sounds pretty good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, we don't want you to not join.
Yeah, we're not opposed. Don't get me wrong. Did not get that impression.
It's not sure what we're going to get. That, like I said, Germany and France.
What can you bring
already
that Austria and Czechoslovakia cannot bring?
That's
right.
Still
there.
Right.
Hey, Jerry, can I suggest a makeout song for you and your lovely bride for tonight?
Always.
There's a Van Morrison song called Hungry for Your Love.
Wow.
And I think in Hungary, that will be a song that you'll always remember losing your virginity to, since it is your honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
there's a little known Tavares.
A few days ago.
There's a Tavares B-side called It Only Takes a Minute, Girl, to Bust a Nut. Which wasn't as popular.
No, it
was the B-side.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, this protest seems to be about ousting a university.
Oh, okay.
Just
sorry.
FYI.
All right. So are they in the union?
David,
they've been in since 2004.
We got married back on Friday, so we didn't wait until we got to Hungary to consummate the marriage.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, David.
All right. Still using mood music.
Enjoy. My grandfather always claimed that there was like a statue or a park bench or something that was in his brother, Bela, Bela Gorog, who was evidently a noteworthy writer over there.
Okay.
And so you can see if there's anything for Bela Gorog. And
Gorog. Yeah, Pablo's brother.
Yeah, I think, and thank you, Jerry. I think people talked a lot of shit before the internet. Yeah. Because now if you say that, you go, all right, well, let's just hop on Google and see just how famous your brother actually was. Oh, he did septic tank repair and removal?
He was the best.
Exactly. On the 12th page. Exactly.
Yeah.
The Babe Ruth of septic tanks.
Yeah, Bela?
Bela Gorog.
Bela Gorog. Let's see if there's any of that.
Do you know how the German or the Hungarian spelling of that would be?
I know Gorog. That's all I know.
Yeah, that one I got.
Bela is B-E-L-A, like Bela Lugosi.
Adam, I was moved when you were talking about your grandfather stepping up, because I never really heard you say that.
Oh, but he did, yeah.
I think it's like, I know with your family, you didn't have an ideal family, but it sounds like he really was a good guy to you.
He did, well, first
but he
off,
was a Jew, right? Am I right?
Oh, my God.
Oh, was he?
Super. Two. Now, the thing that... But kids, you know, kids don't need a lot, but they need, like, what they need is, like, when somebody cooks for you, it means they love you.
Right.
Or they care about you, or they're, like, taken care of. And, by the way, if they're not going to cook for you, but they tell you, don't worry, I love you, I'm just not cooking for you, it's message not sent.
Right.
It's, I'm not getting...
Actions.
It's all actions. And so he was all action. He cooked, he took care of, the only fist fight I ever got into in grade school was if the nights I would sleep over at my grandfather's house, because the family was such a mess that we'd end up spending the night there like a couple times a week. And he'd send you to school with a lunch. My mom would send you one. She'd get a voucher for a fish stick, an one uncooked fish stick. And you'd go in and try to hammer that, you know, with the free lunch. And it was like horrible. But he'd make you a sandwich and a this and a that, and he'd pack it in the thing. And he packed me a sandwich, like a good sandwich. And the guy Chris, who borrowed my unicycle and then later on died, he said,
"Shows him."
He said, "Can I have a bite of that sandwich?" And I was like, I don't get too many of these good sandwiches, but like, okay. And I handed him the sandwich, and he did that move where he shoved the entire thing into his mouth.
What a jag.
And I was like, that was my grandpa's sandwich. And I still couldn't throw a punch at him because I wasn't that kind of kid, but I forced him to throw a punch at me, and then I beat him up. Nice. That was that's
the check raise. It's a poker check raise.
that's my love. But yes,
like he was your boss in a Stallone movie.
Oh, he was great. I learned I had an appreciation for Jews very early on because of him, because of Laszlo Gorog. Like he told stories. He cooked. He took care of. Like he was sweet. You know, he had a little nickname. He called me Cookie. You know, like everyone had a little nickname for everybody. He would, you know, at night he would tell you stories, you know, by the bed and all that kind of stuff. He's just a really solid dude. And for all the fractured families around, the good-hearted neighbor guy or the granddad or the whomever, they can pick up a lot of slack, a lot of slack. Yep. All right. Let's see.
But when you got older, Kayla, wasn't he the one that was not impressed by the check you were bringing home?
Well, no, he was.
Money isn't everything.
He was, I told you, he was super Jewy. He was super Jewy, and he had that thing. He's the most loving guy in the world, but then like later on, at some point when I told him, he wrote comedy, basically. He wrote plays. He wrote tons of comedy plays and things like that. And I told him I wanted to write jokes. I wanted to do jokes. I wanted stuff. And he just never had any of it. Like he would never, it was always, nah, that's not good, or this is why, or like, it's that weird. Yes, when I told him, the famous story with him is when he was in his 90s, and I was now like on MTV and doing Loveline on K-Rock and whatever else. And I knew he didn't have any concept of any TV shows outside of like Hollywood Squares. Although that was a perfect one for him too, because he loved Hollywood Squares. My entire childhood was like Hollywood Squares, Hollywood Squares. He loved Hollywood Squares and how clever everyone was. And then when I was on Hollywood Squares, I thought it would blow his mind when I told him I was on Hollywood Squares, and he didn't care at all, because that's the other Jewish component, which is make sure love, and then
keep them tethered.
He's doing the Jewish thing ever. So at a certain point when he was getting near, you know, death, I could tell. I just said, look, I got to tell this guy, I'm working, I'm in show business, I'm in Hollywood. He was in show business, he was in Hollywood, old school. And I said to him, look, I'm successful now, because he knew me, like my grandparents, like my grandmother would say, like, look, I know you don't know how to read. And I'd go, I know how to read. And I'd go, it's okay. And I'd go, like, I'm not a good reader, but I could read. Sweetie, Stop. It's okay. It's me. And my grandfather,
put a finger on your lips.
You know, I'd be leaving his house when I was 27. He's like, you want a potato to take? And I'd be like, no, I'm fine. I got it. Sure. You sure you don't? What? You might need a potato.
Don't be too proud.
And wrap a dollar around it or something. Like, they thought, all they knew of me is I was a tremendous loser. Like, they, like a destitute, dyslexic loser. And so when I finally had money and I was like on TV and radio and syndication, I went and told him, I went down. I said, look, Grandpa, I'm working in showbiz. I'm making a ton of dough. I want you to know, because he was our step-grandfather, but we were his only grandkids. He never had kids, and we never had a grandfather. And I felt like I don't want this guy dying and just thinking, oh, what's Adam doing? Like, he'll be up in heaven, and he'll be picturing me, like, scraping caulking up from around somebody's tub or pulling down wallpaper in somebody's living
room
or something.
Live on TV.
So I said to him, I'm doing really well for myself. And he was really surprised. I said, I'm making a lot of money. And he just went, are you making $1 million? And I said, and I made like $550,000, which is still unthinkable for the Corollas. But I said, no, I'm not. And then I felt really kind of bad about it. Like, I went down to brag, and then he picked this number that was much higher than what I was making. And so the next year, I made, like, $1.2 million or something like that. And I got the news, and I went down to his house, and now he's, you know, 93 years old. And I said, Grandpa, yeah. Remember last year we talked about money, and you want to know if I was making $1 million? I said, this year I made over $1 million. And he just paused and he looked at me and he said, money doesn't buy happiness. That's the Jewiest jiu-jitsu. Of all jiu-jitsu moves. That's right. That's right. All right, one more. Dion, Long Island.
Adam, what's up, man?
Man, we're going East Coast. Yeah, what's going on?
Well, I don't know if it's a question. I guess the question is why? Do commercials continue using the scenario? I'm talking about a Discover card commercial where they have two characters and they look nearly identical and they're calling each other. One is a customer, one's in customer service.
I know those commercials.
Like a split screen. Have you seen this?
Dion, this commercial.
You watched?
Hold on, Dion. My wife's in advertising and this commercial has come up many times in our house, so please go on.
I'm so glad Christy's in advertising because I feel like all I do is complain.
I hate. We're looking at the first. This is the first one. This is the first one. Because this one drove me insane.
My twin sister always says that. Wait. Lisa?
Julie?
You sound really different on the phone. Do I sound pleasant? For once in your life, you sound very pleasant.
At Discover, we treat you.
Now, there's a whole series of these commercials
okay,
now.
That kind of shit on my point because they say twin sister. And the other ones, they don't mention that they're siblings.
I know where you're going with this.
Yes. It's my McDonald's commercial where the chick on the hog who's living life footloose and fancy free gets the Egg McMuffin afternoon, and the chick driving the minivan looks almost exactly like her. So
you have a Wendy's commercial.
There's a Wendy's one with the red-haired chick,
but
this is the McDonald's one that Gary will find, and you think, is this her alter ego?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, no, that's a different chick.
This.
And then you go, in a world where it's diversity, 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 just put a black mom in the van and put the red-haired chick on
or
the
guy.
Harley or guy or whatever it is, and then we get our message without all the confusion. Why are you cast? I've seen way too many commercials where they cast two people that look almost exactly alike to play the customer and the person on the other line, and you go, is that her, the different hairstyle? Or
you're 100% right about that. These are twice as bad, in my opinion. I complained to Chrissy about this, and she's like, you're right. So the tagline has become, we treat you like you treat you. These are supposed to be the same people. Because, like, the customer service, like, we treat you like you treat you.
Right.
And it's supposed to be the same person. Like, when you call, you get you on the phone. We treat you like you would treat you. Like, we're polite and we're helpful and blah, blah, blah.
So they hadn't worked it out yet.
Exactly. They fucked their whole campaign royally by, like, wait, are these people twins? Are they the same person?
And
it's never clear if it's the
right.
Here's what happened. Okay. I know this is what happened because Christy goes through this all the time. There was a very clear, simple idea someone has. Like, hey, how about he calls and he answers the phone? He's talking to him and it's a great interaction. And then someone or a committee, more likely, fucked it up all down the road.
Yes.
What if they're twins? What if they're... No!
What
you
if
fucked
it's
up
Kendall
a great
Jenner?
Idea.
Right. And what
sometimes
they,
less is more.
What they end up... I don't think this is the one. But maybe it is. Then there's... Here's what inevitably happens. There's some dumbo... And there's some dumbo that's high up on the food chart, the pecking order. Mm-hmm. And what happens, this happens when you try to do comedy or TV or whatever. That dumbo has one suggestion. And since they're the head dumbo, they'll go like, well, Nancy Tellum wants this. And then everyone sits around and goes, ugh, it's a horrible idea.
But
and then they go, all right, let's figure out a way to incorporate it.
Yep. She is
doing the
director.
Least amount of damage we can do because we can't go back and tell whomever, head Dumbo, this is a bad idea. We'll just incorporate their bad idea. Right. And then it ends up getting diluted and confusing.
So they still look alike, but now we'll make it clear that they're twins.
So, Dion, have you observed, had this driven you insane also with the Discover card commercials?
It has, and like I said, there are other commercials that don't mention that they're twins. Just two people talking to each other.
Yep.
My McDonald's commercial, Gary, is this one seems confusing to me, but go ahead and play it if this is it. It looks like a different car, but maybe it's not. Oh, yeah, it looks like it.
Yep.
Who's the rebel now?
No way.
Yes way. Savor breakfast anytime you like.
I had to watch this commercial 9 times ago. Is she? Is that her alter ego?
They look too much alike.
And by the way, he went with a weird thing, which is green eyes and bright red hair on both of them. Mm-hmm. So that, and the one's driving the minivan and the other's in the Hawk. So it's like, oh, she wishes, wait, this is her old life, or this is what she could be doing if she, oh no, it's just supposed to be a different
it's
person?
Random.
Like,
yeah.
Now as I say it, I'm still getting more confused. Mm-hmm. It's just a different person.
Yep.
That looks exactly the
yep.
same.
That's way too much alike.
Hey, Adam,
and a specific weirdness same, not yes. just brown hair.
Apparently, mm-hmm. I was reading an article recently that they use red people with red hair like predominantly in advertising because it makes people stare.
Well, now makes him stern angry.
All right, go ahead, Dion. Sorry. Oh, wait. Dawson's got a thought.
I auditioned for the voiceover of that Discover commercial when it first came out, and nowhere in the copy, the direction they gave you, did they say you're going to be a twin of someone. It was always, when you call Discover, we're just like
yeah.
you.
Treat so, you like you treat you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I think that kind of adds to your point.
Someone had a good idea.
None of those people in the commercial.
Yes.
Someone had a good idea.
None of their voices were used.
Fucked up in the by committee.
And not yes, committee fucks everything up. And except for gangbang films,
which, you really got to have
that. It enhances yeah. that enhances. But other than that, committee kills everything. But here's the other thing: is I've always said this. I've always said in art or especially ideas or humor. You can be anything but confusing.
Right. So
you can
clear.
Do a joke that's bad, that does, you know, it's a four.
Right.
But you know what it is.
At least you get it.
But when you're like going, is that, wait a minute, that joke, I don't, it's a joke, hold on, is it a double entendre or is it like, when
is that
when
intentional?
When it's confusing, right. it's right. the worst thing you yep. can be. And when you're advertising, the one thing you cannot be is confusing, yeah. whether it's a logo that looks like the K is a C or whatever it
you
is.
You have half a second to make that impression.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Dion.
Sorry, Dion.
I think he had one more okay. thing he was desperate
oh,
to say.
Adam.
Yes.
Speaking of Cobra on the Hog and that girl on the Hog, do you ever think of riding a motorcycle again? Do you own any? And I'll take my answer off the air. Bye, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye.
Perfect.
No, and I would. I would do it in a group setting. I'm
what
just
if,
riding my motorcycle.
What if Natalia yeah, said she wanted to ride? She wanted a moped?
She's for sure going to ride yeah. some sort of dangerous motorized
yeah,
vehicle.
She's sure riding is. Skateboards all around the house already, and she's into something and everything. Sonny, again, going to have to figure out how to get him on a bicycle. Jesus Christ. All right, I'm putting myself in a better mood. Tommy John, oh. Wait a minute.
Don't prove it. What do we got?
Don't ooh, prove it. Don't
a nice,
prove
a nice
it.
Robin's egg blue today.
Oh, yeah.
Look at you.
Where are my Tommy Johns right now?
Cerulean.
Put your eyes back in your head, Gina.
Spring cleaning.
My eyes are up here.
you're doing your underwear drawer. Clean it out. Let's go all Tommy John. Tommy John, 21st century underwear. Well, I'm wearing them now. I think we already proved that point. State-of-the-art design, patented fabrics, eliminates bunching, squishing, and riding up. Plus, complete line of evolved undershirts. Form-fitting. They stay tucked in. They wick away the moisture. They are just the best. You'll never go back. And the socks, too. They stay up all day long. Backed by the best pair you're ever going to wear. It's Tommy John. And about the best thing you can say about well, just about any product is once you go this way, you'll never go back to your old undershirts, underpants, socks, whatever. It's all Tommy John. Dawson.
Hurry to TommyJohn.com now and save 20% on your first order with promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam for 20% off only at TommyJohn.com. TommyJohn.com.
Brad Tulinski is out there. Play it loud.
Book looks good.
Very good book. Everything about the electric
and Adam,
guitar. Yes.
Before I forget, the Comedy Jam, that show, Mark Duplass, who I think is a friend of yours,
yes.
isn't he? He's on this week. People should check it out. It's him with Kevin Cronin, and it's like the greatest musical moment nice. I've ever seen.
Ario Speedwagon.
Ario Speedwagon. Kevin he tells the story of his first love and works it into a Kevin Cronin ballad with Kevin Cronin. It's beautiful.
Staying Alive. Grammy salute to Music of the Bee Gees. That airs this Sunday at 8 p.m. on CBS.
Please watch.
We'll be right back after this.
I'm John Horn. I'm the host of Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. I'm here with our very first guest, Rainn Wilson.
Hi, John. It looks like I'm the first guest on the Geffen Unclothed. Unscripted.
Unscripted. Yeah, let's go with that.
A marriage made in heaven, I guess.
Or Westwood.
Tune in for some of our exciting upcoming guests. David Copperfield, Neil LaBute, Neil Patrick Harris, Josh Gad, Rita Wilson, and many more. Be sure to download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app and on iTunes. And don't forget to rate, review, and share.
And I'm Rainn Wilson, the first guest.
You are first guest.
This was a huge mistake.
Geffen Playhouse Unscripted.
Huge mistake.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
England is under the threat in the Ocean invasion. Although we be in the far side in the war, this ship is our new home. This ship is England.
If you said Master and Commander.
England is under threat of invasion. And though we be on the far side of the world, this ship is our home. This ship is England.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Underrated sort of movie. I love that movie. Brad Talinsky is here. Play It Loud, an epic history of the style, sound, and revolution of the electric guitar. Brad was editor-in-chief of Guitar World magazine from about 16 years there up until a couple years ago, 2015, and has authored and co-authored 13 books on the guitar. So nobody knows more about it than Brad. Brad, good to see you.
good seeing you. Thanks for having me.
Is electric guitar, is that one of America's greatest offerings to the world, or is it even America's offering to the world? Did somebody, are we first?
Yeah, it is pretty much. You know, basically the thing with the guitar was it was a great instrument because it was portable. You know, you could play melodies on it, chords, take it anywhere. But the problem with it, it just wasn't loud acoustically. Right. So a guy from Texas named George Beauchamp was just frustrated with it. So anyways, he moved to L.A., actually, and made it his life's goal to basically amplify this thing so he could compete with all the other instruments.
It's interesting, but it's sort of in a weird way. I don't know why. I was thinking of flight, because sometimes you go, hey, we invented the first airplane, and then sometimes I go, hey, a guy in France invented it, or whatever it is. But you think about, like, the Wright brothers and their wooden thing with their canvas over it, and they would steer it by, like, bending the wings this way and that way, and then you pop forward 25, 15 years, or whatever, 14 years. You're in World War One, and there are guys flying biplanes, doing loop-de-loops and dropping bombs and stuff with turrets on them and stuff. Like, how do we get so far so fast from that? I feel like the electric guitar got invented and then was, like, hauling ass just after it got invented. Like, it did. Like, it didn't do, like, I don't know, what cars did or
Chuck
something.
Chuck Berry's like, let me see that.
And then
it sort of took a little bit of time because...
What year was the first one out?
Like, around the first mass-produced, like, 1932.
Oh, okay.
But the thing is everybody says, like, well, why didn't the electric guitar exist? And the thing is, like, people have to understand that electricity is a relatively new, was a new commodity in the United States. I mean, you didn't, like, maybe 50% of the homes had electricity in 1930.
Right.
You had to wait for some freaking electricity to happen before you could have the electric guitar, you know.
So it was invented, and what did that guitar become, or did it become something?
It was this thing. It was a little bit of a freak of nature, you know. It was called the frying pan, and it basically looked like one. It had, like, was like a circle with a neck sticking out of it. Yeah, like a banjo.
What is, as far as the market goes, like, I collect some vintage cars, and I know there's a real strong market for, like, vintage Daytona Rolex watches and stuff, you know, several $100,000 for the right Rolex. Guitars are going insane, too. Are they not in that world?
Yeah.
What are some of the big money getters?
Well, usually it's, you know, it's they only made, like, the Les Paul, like the original Les Pauls in the first few years that they were made. They only made, like, about 300 of them. Mm-hmm. So all of those from the 50s, like the 58, 59, and 60 Les Paul, there's only a limited amount of those, so, you know, it goes through the roof.
Are we talking several hundred thousand dollars?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. These days, half $1 million.
Everyone must have a great, horrible, heartbreaking story about having a Les Paul and, like, playing it and trading it for a bumper pool table in 1971 that was new,
sure.
You know, or whatever it is. I mean, because it was worth nothing at some point or next to nothing and then became insane.
Yeah, I mean, right? It's you're bringing up cars. I mean, there's like a lot of things that are similar between guitars and cars. You know, I mean, who knew any of the cars that were first being rolling off the line were going to become collector's items later on, you know, that they became, and people didn't take care of them. They let them rust and rot and disappear and whatever.
The thing that's always funny about the cars, and it must be that way with guitars as well, is in the car world, the guy may have been a Ferrari guy, and so he had his, you know, 1972 Ferrari Daytona, and he took it in and traded it for the car, the Ferrari, the Mondial, from Weird Science. remember that, the convertible?
Yeah, when it changed. Yeah.
Right. So, like,
when Lisa changed it.
So, you know, it's a 72, and he took it in 1986, and he gave him the Daytona and $9,000, and he got the Mondial. Now the Daytona's worth $800,000, and the Mondial's worth $32,000. The idea that they traded it in and had to give him some cash to get the new one, and the other thing's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. It must be those guitar stories all day long, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've done some really stupid shit myself.
Give us a good stupid story. Give us a good – I want a big money loser.
This was a big money loser. So the first guitar that I got, or one of my first guitars, was this 1962 Gibson guitar, ES-330, beautiful guitar. And, you know, like, you didn't have the internet. You didn't have magazines. You didn't have anybody telling you that this was a good thing. I thought it was sort of corny looking.
Right.
You know, it was sort of big bodied and had the F holes. It wasn't like, you know, a Jimi Hendrix guitar or Jimmy Page guitar. And I thought it was just sort of a cornball guitar. So at the time, like, this was, I don't know, in the 80s. And I also played mandolin. Okay. So I had this one guy said, look, I'm going to trade you this guitar if you make me and a solid body electric mandolin with a whammy bar and a locking nut system, like a little miniature Eddie Van Halen guitar, and I'll let you have this.
That man was
Brad
Williams.
And the guy worked on it for like about a year, and he gave it to me. And he said, okay, where's my guitar? And it was really a piece of junk. It didn't
– Yeah.
He did everything I asked him to. And it was just a stupid idea, and I ended up giving away this great guitar for this thing that I ended up throwing away like 3 months later.
What do you think that guitar, in good condition, is worth today?
Probably, I mean, not crazy money, but you could probably get a good 10 grand, 15 grand for it.
More than the electric mandolin.
That's in the garbage. It's in a garbage pile somewhere.
Who are some of the guitar players that are underrated that we don't know about? I feel like we know about the Van Halens of the world, and maybe we know about some guys just because they're out there and up front and saying, hey, look at me. But who are the guys that we quietly might not know are as good as they are at it? Because I'm not good enough to know who the good guys are versus the music I just like.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I was doing this book, I really came across an amazing story. And I knew about the guitar player a little bit, but I didn't know as much as I should have known about him. But really, the first guitar hero was a guy named Charlie Christian, okay, who played with Benny Goodman's band, okay, in the late 30s. And he was like... he was really the guy that put the electric guitar on the map, and the thing about it is he only had like a 3-year career. He ended up dying of TB early, so in a weird way, he was almost a prototype for like a Jimi Hendrix or a Randy Rhoads or a Stevie Ray Vaughan. You know, somebody who was like huge for a couple of years and then died, and It was before the electric guitar really sort of caught on. So, I mean, he's like an interesting guy. He sort of invented the electric guitar solo. I mean, you've probably never heard of him.
He's no.
A super important
I know
guy.
Everyone else in the Benny Goodman band. But who would you pick? Let's see how it is, because there's so many different styles. There. If you're just playing one show, and we didn't even know what the set list was, and you just needed one guy to go up there with a guitar with you, yeah. Even if you were playing the drums or something, just like, I need a guy, and I need this guy. It's like the world's greatest athlete. Like, you know, like you. Somebody said, I don't know what the sport is. I'll take a 22-year-old Bo Jackson. I don't care what the sport is. You tell us. It won't be revealed until later, but I'm going to pick Bo Jackson to come with me because yeah. he's this guy. Who is that guitar player that you would say, I don't know what the set list is. I don't even know what type of music we're playing, but I want this guy because yeah. he can handle anything.
I don't know. You know, I mean, I dig like there's this young guy named Tozin Abasi.
That's who I was thinking.
who could play like literally anything with strings and do anything with it.
What? How old is this guy?
It's like, you know, 25 or something.
I mean, yeah.
Where did you find
know.
It? Yeah.
When his birthday? He's a Sagittarius. Tozin's awesome, man.
Don't both answer at once, but how do you, where would we know him from?
You wouldn't.
Okay, sweet.
He asked me for the guy that you wouldn't know, so that's.
But does he do his own thing?
In the guitar, people know T.A. inside the
yes,
guitar
exactly.
world.
He's a guitarist.
He plays in a band called Animals as Leaders.
Whoa, wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
Who doesn't know?
Yeah. No, man, I love their cover of Alice Cooper's Only Women Bleed. It's awesome, man. You got to check it out. You got to go to the deep net to get there, though, man. All right, who is someone we may have heard of?
I love Robin Trower.
Robin Trower, yeah. Dawson's excited. Yeah. You could have got an even bigger action from Pat Travers. But Robin Trower, yeah. So Robin Trower, and I don't even know what Robin Trower's up to these days.
You know, he's playing smaller clubs.
Is he just – now, why do you pick a guy like that?
Because I just love him. I mean, you know, that's a whole thing. It's sort of like – you know, music is pretty damn subjective, as
right.
you were pointing out earlier. It's like, you know, who's somebody that I unreasonably love as
but,
a guitar player.
But you got to be careful because in our sort of – we haven't declared the sport yet. You got to bring the best athlete with you, not the guy you love the most.
Robert Trower. Okay, guys.
Did he who did he play with? Or
Procol
was he
Harum,
always just
Procol Harum? Oh, look at her. Yeah.
Nice. And then it was just him after that.
Then it was
right?
just him. Come on, you know what you got to do.
I'm not going to blow you, Brad. I like your book. But I'm not going to blow you. And if you're going to advertise it, I'm really not going to blow you. You had a chance before you.
You could have slipped me a note, for
yeah,
God's sake.
Before you went into the mic. Now it's recorded. And there's really no chance of it at this point. I did not know he was with Procol Harum. How did you know? Oh, well, you
work at
the
classic rock
you work at the classic rock yeah. station. All right. The book, once again, Play It Loud. It's an epic history of the style and sound and revolution of the electric guitar. It's available at Amazon. And if you go to our website and bookmark us and then go get the book, well, that's what we call win-win. All right. Yes.
Who's someone who maybe doesn't get their due? You know, someone who is either dismissed for some reason, they're in the wrong genre, or...
Tozin Abasi.
Tozin Abasi. Come on,
Robin
man.
Trower, dude.
Where were you?
Sorry, you wrote a 500-page book on the guitar. I thought you had more than two names. But.
All right, let's get to the news. I want the news.
Let's do it.
All right. Oh, you get right. Oh, hold on. I'll tell you guys about Geico. There. You want to save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, and you don't want to...
The whole book is those two guys?
That's all for the first chapter.
Yeah, there's two chapters.
Yeah.
Go to Geico. All the other guys you know. You know okay. the other guys.
Go to geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Why not? Save some money. Save up for that electric mandolin you've always been wanting. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. It's Geico. All right, the news.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking
viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Seek news with Gina, Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, some sad news in the comedy world. According to TMZ, Charlie Murphy has died at the age of 57. Charlie, who's Eddie Murphy's older brother, was popular stand-up on his own. He gained more widespread fame as David Chappelle's sidekick on Chappelle's Show. He co-wrote some films with Eddie Murphy. Charlie had been suffering from leukemia. He leaves behind three adult children. His wife, Tisha Taylor Murphy, died in 2009 of cervical cancer. Now, here's a spliced together clip of Charlie and Chappelle's Show writer Neil Brennan explaining how Charlie's famous Rick James story came to be. It's pretty great.
We went to Studio 54. We walking up into the VIP section, and I'm looking around to see who's there, and looking at the girls and everything. And all of a sudden, I heard something go, Charlie Murphy! I waited, because I knew what hotel he was staying in. Went up to his room, knocked on the door. Charlie Murphy! What he's coming for, I just can't.
I don't think that's gravitationally possible, but Charlie believes it. So we put harness on Dave, and then he flies and breaks the mirror.
Come over here and have sex with Charlie Murphy. I'm Rick James, bitch.
The Charlie Murphy sketches on Chappelle's Show are some of the funniest things ever committed to.
When he plays Prince, plays basketball with Prince.
It's perfect.
And the Revolution.
I think I interviewed him once.
You did. It didn't go well.
That's Why? What I was remembering.
Why?
Yeah, you called him Eddie.
Oh, is that it? No.
You did? Gio can tell us for sure, but I'm pretty
Giovanni
sure.
Giovanni tell us.
Pretty sure you called him Eddie.
You probably weren't the first.
Well, I didn't think it was Eddie Murphy.
I know.
But maybe I was screwing around. But why didn't it go well? I can't think of it. It wasn't that.
I think that slip of the tongue came early. Like when you call Joko Joy, you don't mean, you know, you think his name is Joy, obviously. And Charlie, I don't think, ever recovered from that.
Wow.
That's my recollection of the interview.
I remember interviewing him.
I think it was just downhill from there.
I don't think I don't remember. That
I could be,
familiar.
I could be wrong.
We're seeing that maybe he was on Too Late.
Yeah,
that's
there was
what
a TV
I remember.
Show.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Oh, sorry if that wasn't... I never said that. It was on the TV show.
Yeah, so. I think I remember it on the TV show, and I just remember like asking him questions and not really having answers for it, but I don't remember why.
My recollection, I could very easily be wrong, but I think you called him Eddie early on. Slip of the tongue, audience laughed.
Or maybe I was making a joke. I don't know. Well, we'll figure it out. We'll see.
Like it.
We'll see if we got it. Yes, yeah, so I just remember it not going well. Mm-hmm. That's what I remember. And yeah, that does sound familiar. But I'm trying to think.
I could be wrong.
No,
I'm not committed to this.
I know it was a TV show. Mm-hmm. I know it didn't go well.
I was there.
And I know, I was there too. Mm-hmm. And I know it was like there's sometimes like you'd ask guys questions about stuff that you thought, oh, this is going to tee them up and they're just going to go off. And they just kind of give you a one word answer mm-hmm. and you go, well, oh, we're not.
All right.
Yeah. But
moving on.
I didn't think it was because he was pissed, but I couldn't remember why. But we'll see. Anyway. Maybe it was. Maybe it was that.
Sensitive to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer has had more than his fair share of tough moments at the podium, but Tuesdays might be the toughest. In trying to denounce Syria's use of chemical weapons and Russia's support of Syria, he compared President Bashar Assad to Adolf Hitler. When discussing the way Assad attacked close to 100 of his own people with sarin gas this month, Spicer made this comment.
We didn't use chemical weapons in World War II. You know, you had a... You know, someone as despicable as Hitler, who didn't even sink to using chemical weapons.
He also fumbled the term concentration camps, calling them Holocaust centers. These comments happen to fall on the first night of the Jewish holiday
both.
Passover. Yeah. According to the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum, Nazis used both mobile and stationary gas chambers, killing about 6,000 Jews a day
at
Auschwitz.
That's the ultimate chemical weapon, isn't
it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a chemical weapon. Spicer apologized in an exclusive interview with CNN's Wolf Blitzer. Here's a snippet of that.
I would ask obviously for folks forgiveness to understand that I should not have tried to make a comparison. There's no comparing atrocities. And it is a very solemn time for so many folks that this is part of that. And so that's obviously a very difficult thing personally to deal with because you know that a lot of people who don't know you, wonder why you would do that.
Wait a minute. Doesn't everyone just do Hitler for everything all the time now?
Well, people do it for Trump all the time.
Yeah, and vice versa. I mean, everything. Right. They call the dean of students, right. Hitler asked for not allowing Milo Yiannopoulos to speak on campus. Like, right. I thought everything is just Hitler.
But I don't think anyone's doing upset. The opposite.
I don't think anyone's upset that he brought up Hitler. I think it's the fact he's like, Hitler didn't use chemical weapons when, in fact,
not
Hitler
even
used
Hitler
the
used,
ultimate
right.
example of chemical weapons.
Xylon
so it wasn't
or,
the use of Hitler.
That said, I know what he was trying to say.
No, I know
he
what he's saying too. Because I was when he was thinking, I wasn't thinking gas chamber either. I was picturing Well,
I went right to it. I mean,
no. Well,
I
mean, yeah, he was. You don't know enough about World War II. Just like World War I, they used a lot of mustard gas.
Okay.
Then they were in the trenches and they used a lot of gas. Well, these guys were gassed. I mean, I didn't think gas chamber, to be
he
honest.
Was saying, trying, I wasn't, he was trying I don't, to make a comparison on the battlefield.
Well, the problem is when they go to the problem is this, I think. When they're going after somebody's stockpiled chemical weapons, they're not going after gas chambers. They're going after mustard gas, sarin gas, gas
nerve
that can
gas.
Then be released on the public. And then traditionally, since it's been used, it's been released that way. So as anyone who knows World War history, you think World War One, a lot of gas. World War Two, not so much gas. Like, I can't think of, I don't know if there's a Geneva Convention thing, or I don't remember gas being used in World War II, but I don't think of the gas chamber as being weaponized. That's the problem.
That makes sense, but I think that to make that point, I think even clearer, I think most people don't know that much about world wars. And so when some of us just who don't really, I couldn't have told you what you just told me, think even, you know, Hitler didn't use chemical weapons, you're thinking, well, wait, what were the gas chambers? You know, so I don't have that comparison. That was actually my first thought.
That's, I would never have that thought because to me would have to be whatever Assad did to his people is what the comparison he's making. So if Hitler didn't drop mustard gas or Assad dropped mustard gas, then that's my apples to apples. But did they use chemical weapons in World War II, or did they outlaw them after World War One?
They outlawed them after World War One,
and that's what he's saying. But anyway, bad timing because it's Passover.
It was the first night, and he called them Holocaust centers. But
when people have, we can't do that because people have brain farts, and it's like they
agreed.
Like they're people like. You know, what's your middle nephew's name? And you go, and then, oh, you don't even know. And it's like, that's just a you.
Right.
You're
that's
having a brain fart. That's not like you necessarily being insensitive.
No,
that's just having a brain
that's
fart.
That's why I think whatever he was reading on script, he needs to stay on the script because they've clearly prepared whatever they need to prepare for him. And Sean doesn't need to go off script.
But he was also suggesting that, Hitler didn't use it on his own people as if there weren't German Jews. I mean,
that was another,
Yeah.
What was, now I can't remember his name, Gary Johnson. What was his famous
Aleppo.
What is Aleppo? And I think he knew what Aleppo was, but couldn't remember in that moment what they were talking about.
No, what everyone has to realize is, you know, humans are pretty incredible, but we're not that good. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to bring up Aleppo sort of off topic or just sort of from left field, or, you know, you're talking about textile manufacturing in the Midwest and then you go, let's switch gears and go to Aleppo. Most people are just going to go like,
what kind of textile is that?
And we all do the cigarettes. Hey, you're running for president. You should know. And it's like, you should, but we don't know how late the guy was up the night before. We don't know if he took a flight across country the night before. We've all had the brain fart, whatever. If they had warmed into Aleppo, if they started talking about foreign affairs and rolling into the Middle East and warring into trouble in the Middle East and towns and battles and skirmishes and whatever, and then
Syria,
made our way into Aleppo, I think Gary Johnson may have
a little bit of a gotcha moment
followed along into it. Yeah. But I don't whether it's Gary Johnson or Holocaust centers. I don't, the brain farts I don't really hold against the people.
Well, I know this has been on your mind for a while. You've been wondering what the deal is, and I think we now have a definitive answer. Caitlyn Jenner reportedly underwent gender reassignment surgery in January. The revelation was made in the reality star's new memoir, The Secrets of My Life, which comes out at the end of the month. In the excerpt obtained by Radar Online.
I just like there's a 385-page book about the secrets.
Things I don't want revealed.
Volume 3.
Yes. She supposedly writes, I just want to have all the right parts. I'm also tired of tucking the damn thing in all the time.
Oh, boy.
She adds, the surgery was a success, and I feel not only wonderful, but liberated. Caitlin has not confirmed the story, but we may learn more on April 21st, because she's going to talk about the book with Diane Sawyer.
How does the tuck in work?
Would you like to know?
How did the tuck in work?
Well, I understand what the general dynamic behind tuck in.
I've gone to a tucking seminar.
You have?
What? Yes.
Okay.
So at RuPaul's DragCon,
give us the tuck rule, because as a yeah. Raiders fan,
if you're pulling it back
never,
in, is it still part of
it's
the
never
tuck?
Fully been explained to me in terms I could understand.
I still think Charles Woodson caused that.
Yes.
I've seen it done to a young man on stage. So basically, and you're going to have to correct me if some of this isn't how it goes on down there. But
how does one, but I understand the tuck, but it's the tuck and roll. It's you moving around. Like, I couldn't walk out to the town car.
Yes, you could.
We've all done the move in front of the full-length mirror.
Yeah, the Buffalo Bill, dance.
I'll explain.
Okay.
So there's a really, really strong tape that I guess you, first of all, you push the balls, like, up inside yourself. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Okay, so I saw that, but I wasn't sure I could see it properly. Then you take, like, the tip of the penis, and it goes back underneath, but it's taped at the top, and then it tapes to your lower back. So the tape goes all the way under and around. And
I'm just picturing, I don't know why, it's Eddie Murphy I'm thinking about, but I'm picturing, like, remember Nutty Professor when he was turning back into the clump?
And he started to, his lip got huge.
Right. So, Caitlyn Jenner, like, farts, and all of a sudden, it's like, pow! Chunk, and it's flying back out again.
And a button goes across the room and lands in some high society lady's drink.
Yeah,
oh!
Right. What? So, all right, you take the
scrotal sack,
and you push it up. When that lifts up, it's the cremasteric response, so I believe, or Dartix tunic Dr. or something. That's a Dr. Drew thing, right?
Well, Drew,
push that up in there. And
then you take the penis.
You put the tape, like a medical grade tape.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
And you take it back, like back underneath, in between your legs, and then you pull the tape and it ends up at like the lumbar of your back.
Oh, you go way up.
Yeah.
Okay.
The tape goes way up.
Uh-huh.
So that way everything is stuck in place for as long as you need it to be. Apparently it is very uncomfortable.
What?
Mildly painful. But you get a great tuck that way.
Uh-huh. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going back to the convention this year, so I'll double check.
That's very interesting. And I guess
it's not.
It's so fun.
No, it is, because
so many drag queens.
There's so many folks out there. I mean, just take the country of Thailand alone.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And there's a lot of guys out there who have to do this, and you got to come up with something ingenious.
Yeah,
with just about everything that needs to be done, there is a process, and that is the process. Now, is there a tuck tape, like a medical tape, or was just a good old duct tape work?
The one that I learned it from said she gets it at Home Depot, so I don't know if it's like a construction tape.
Well, it's probably not made for tucking genitalia.
It's in a very specific section.
Yeah.
It's in home furnishings.
Yep. Yeah, you can get duct tape in all different shades of the rainbow, and they have a beigey brownie color.
And all strengths, I assume, because this...
They're all pretty good for what ails you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way...
Next episode, Adam and Fred.
That's right.
Stuff
Tuck
live.
And junk. Yeah.
Duck stuff live.
Yeah. Well, that's the... You know, honestly, the conundrum is, after talking to Dr. Drew about it and some other people about the whole gender confusion, identity, whatever it's going on, it's a real thing, obviously. For some people, there's problems that live outside of this. But for others, it's just this. And the problem, and boy, I do know a parent who is going through this, which is their kid, it wants to be something other than their little girl. And now...
That's always my dad.
How close are you to this parent?
Yeah, he's...
Look at me every night.
He's living out a female life practically, but in terms of orientation,
what are you talking about?
He likes being a dude.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Drew says, you wait on the hormones till after puberty kicks in, and good luck.
Because there's no reversing that, really.
once the bones start moving and the voice starts changing and the hair starts growing and with that activation that is hormones, was essentially you turn into a man. Now you're down the road and turning into a man, and now we're trying to reverse whatever God started 5 years ago or 20 years. You know, Bruce is 80 years ago. You know, whatever.
Jaw shaved and, you know, really wanted those features to change.
So this is basically, we got a box of baking soda and a small fire here, a little grease fire at the stove. We can put it out now. If we wait for the whole house to go up, good luck with this. And it's going to take a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And so,
really a flaming joke, Adam.
Yes. Really? Now we have this conundrum. Your 12, 13-year-old is getting ready to get into the seventh grade and likes her hair short and wants to play with the boy toys. Do we get on the hormones now? And it just feel pretty weird given your 12-year-old girl or boy, you know, hormones.
Yeah, you still don't want your kid to smoke.
To not turn into what biology had, the direction biology had set them on. On the other hand, hey, if this is it, if this is them, if this is going to be their life, and by the way, you know, we're living, you're living out in the Palisades, don't worry, you'll get a job. Like, it's not, you know, it's not, we're not going to have to live hide in the shadows
the grid,
here.
Yeah.
So, on the other hand, do you want to make this move at 22 and have to do all the undoing?
No, but I wonder, because we don't really hear about these stories, and God willing, there aren't many of them, but someone who maybe started their young child on hormones and did it for a couple years, and the child was like, wait, I don't want to do it anymore, I don't want to do it anymore. I wonder if that, because that doesn't come up, and I certainly hope it doesn't.
Right, and then you get Kalen. You know what I mean? So what do you do then? You want to risk Kalen?
Live out your life as Kalen.
Yeah, you don't want that. Yeah. All right.
Well, cosmopolitan.com. Poor Kalen.
Well, just play it loud.
Cosmopolitan.com has taken clickbait to a new level. The Lifestyle magazine published a recent article about an Australian woman who was diagnosed with a tumor in her appendix, which caused a slew of other health problems like bowel leakage, lung collapse, PTSD, and ultimately resolved eating disorder. But the problem was that Cosmo decided to title the article, "How This Woman Lost 44 Pounds Without Any Exercise." Mm-hmm. On Tuesday, Cosmo changed the headline to "A Serious Health Scare Helped Me Love My Body More Than Ever," but the damage was already done online.
No kidding.
Now, to be fair, Cosmo makes it clear up front that it's a story about body image, but while the article started out talking about multiple surgeries the woman endured and chemotherapy, it quickly turned into tips about weight loss and meal planning. So, not a great time.
How this woman lost 44 pounds. Yeah, everything's clicked. Yeah. Do you guys, you know, do like the one I always seem to see is like, see what this childhood star looks like now. Yep. You know,
doctors hate her for inventing it or with one weird secret. I don't need any of that.
I don't hit any of that stuff.
So I'm told you have to click through a lot of things to find out.
The one weird secret.
Yep.
Now,
one weird trick.
I was actually, I'll get back to Dr. Drew in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. I don't know if you guys heard about this. This ain't clickbait. There was a breach of an online tool used for student loan applications, and it compromised up to 100,000 taxpayers. Identity thieves used the stolen data to file fake tax refunds and get $30 million in fraudulent refunds. Identity theft, America's fastest growing crime. That's why I have LifeLock. You need LifeLock. My kids have LifeLock. And look, everything I buy is online these days. Why not get LifeLock? Protect yourself. They don't outsource, man. They're all here in the U.S. of A. If anything goes wrong, they'll fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock is the best protection available. Membership starts at just $9.99 a month. That's it. $10 a month. You're in LifeLock. You have peace of mind. You keep your identity. It's LifeLock. Dawson.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right. So you guys tell me apropos of this. So I was watching 60 Minutes last week, and one of the stories was how the Silicon Valley guys put these apps together that basically trick your brain into this sort of reward system, and you just, whole idea is just to keep you glued to your phone. Mm. And they've worked out their algorithms that your brain likes, and your brain little things like and I'll screw all this up because I don't know anything about computers, but they'll take your likes or retweets or whatever it is, and they won't give them to you one at a time. They'll hold them for a little while and then give you 18 or 22 of them and
flood you,
help your reward center a little bit, and then keep you on a little bit longer. It's all the stuff they do with rats to try to figure out what keeps them doing this and not doing that and all that. And they're basically just going, look, these guys who you think they're just these tech heads that are designing apps, and they are, but part of what they need is they need you to stay on their app and stay engaged for as long as humanly possible, and don't think they don't know how to do that. And that's what they're studying. Mm-hmm. And now it's creating this problem that people are sort of starting to get depressed or feeling anxiety when they get away from their device and creating all these, you know, feelings that they weren't even aware of. Obviously at some point a few years ago it was your phone, and now it's a thing that has a million different feelings that when you get the thing that someone shot you a text or an email, the anxiety of having the phone sitting over here, hearing that you got a text and not being able to get to it creates certain amounts of anxiety and stress, then dopamine and stress and low-grade stress and blah, blah, blah.
Yes. I left my phone in the back of a Lyft a few weeks ago, and the driver's like, oh, I'll get it to you maybe tomorrow. And for the next 12 hours, I was a wreck. I was like, why my phone?
You may have tweeted about that once or twice.
I tweeted about it once or twice.
So I realized...
Not from my phone.
And they were explaining, and Anderson Cooper was sort of explaining it. Yeah, he has it. As the guy was talking, he was like thinking about his phone, and it was in his pocket, and he had to check the phone, and blah, blah, blah. And then I was picturing Dr. Drew sitting right where you are, Gina, and constantly scrolling, constantly looking through his phone, and then occasionally his wife calling him and me yelling at him and so on and so forth. And then I've explained to him, I've never had my phone in this studio. On rare occasion, if I'm showing Gary a picture or trying to get something off it or something like that. But I go home and shut it off at 6 o'clock at night, and I just keep it off. Like, I don't get good reception at my house.
Well, you,
I don't really want it to ring. If it does, I don't care.
That's crazy.
And I just thought, wait a minute, what's going on with my horrible... Yeah. Something's wrong with my wiring. And then I thought, why is Drew... And also... Drew's old enough that he made it through the first 47 years without anything. Why now? Why the crazy addiction? Like, it is that thing where it's like, geez, a guy's guy on his 51st birthday tries heroin and gets strung out. You know, like, it's a late start. It shows you that with certain things, I don't think it's not this way with cigarettes, but it is this way with oxycodone. Seems like anyone can get strung out at any station in life. Right. You can be the 57-year-old who never drank a drop, get the back surgery, next thing you know, boom, you know, which is scary. And I think the same goes with the devices. But I'm not sure what's different about me and about Drew. Drew can't sit here without holding his phone. And I don't want my phone here because on the off chance it may go off or I'll get distracted by it. And I do shut it off when I get home, and it's off for 19 hours.
Right, and you also know phone shame. Like, my phone would be out there. I'm like, what if they see stuff? What if I said something crazy or I have a crazy picture?
Oh, yeah, I don't attend the kind of conventions you go to, so I don't. I'm not
my
judging.
My tongue tape!
but
you just don't... You think of the difference in your personality. I mean, Drew, would you consider maybe a little more high-strung?
I look at it as...
Easy to be anxious?
It's like... When I'm at home and my phone's on, that would make me anxious. It could ring.
Yeah.
It could be somebody wanting something. I'd rather just be off.
Yeah, be off and totally.
Right. No one, and so on. And as I always say, like, they always go, well, what if your dad's in the hospital? I'll go, well, then he'll be in the hospital tomorrow morning when I get the thing. Or what if your dad died? All right. Well, then he's dead.
Will he still
be dead
tomorrow
morning? Yeah. Like, that's usually the whole thing. But I realize people don't operate. Now, Drew would have anxiety by people not being able to get hold of it.
Right.
Or not, but it's not that. He's looking at tweets and emails and social. He's looking at social media the entire time. Gary, he is looking at social media the whole time, right?
Very often.
And it's funny because he comes in here and he goes, You know, I said that Teen Mom should be on birth control, but I didn't say she had to be on birth control. And, oh, it was an avalanche, avalanche. I'm like, oh.
Drew does the opposite of what you do, whereas you'll see a tweet and go, yeah, that means there's probably five people out there. But Drew sees one tweet and thinks that every person agrees with that tweet.
And he'll call, he'll literally couch it as, you know, a billion people with knives charging at him. Like, and I just go, it's just one jackass out there saying something that disagrees with you or whatever it is. Weird. He does have very chick-ass wiring. But where are you guys with your devices?
I am the same way. Well, it makes me, same way as similar to Drew, although it makes me think about like when Christy and I go on an annual vacation to Hawaii for a week for 7 days, phone goes off when I get on the plane, phone goes back on when I get on the plane. You know what I mean? Like for those 7 days, I'm committed to no phone. Mm. And it's amazing how much more relaxed I am. Like I wish I was cognizant enough to be like, I should do this more often, but I'm not. I'm an idiot like everyone else.
Mm. Yeah. All right.
I'm pretty addicted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just as a general rule, it's by my bed when I go to sleep and wake up, and I like to play games.
That
you know,
give me anxiety.
Well, especially I like to play midnight and all the, you know, at midnight and all the games, and I use my phone as my alarm, and I'm pretty addicted. It's always on me.
Especially now.
I think that like Donald Trump is that for the 24-hour news cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Like I find myself getting anxious if I don't see what stupid thing he hasn't done. You know, it's keeping me hooked into it.
Oh.
You know?
Well, see, I have the sort of nothing ever matters or really makes a difference anyway. So that it's easy to ignore whole news cycles when it's just another like Asian guy gets the crap beat out of him on the plane. I'm like, hey, next time get up and leave, douche. Like, I don't care. Like, I have no sympathy or empathy for him. I don't care. He's an asshole. He's just one more asshole who got punched in a world full of assholes that either been punched or need to be punched. And I have zero feelings about it. I don't care about United. I don't care about going on United flights. My thing is, if you're on an airplane and someone asks you to do something and they got a badge, go ahead and do it. And I'm zero in my news anything. Or Spicer or anybody. Yeah. Doesn't he mispronounce concentration camp or call it a concentration center? It's zero. It's a zero to me. I don't want to get involved with
clearly.
It.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I wasn't that guy, but I found myself getting hooked into that. And I sort of feel that weird that anxiety about it.
Like, I don't feel like it's a good thing.
No. It's not a good
thing.
Drew feels, you know, I wouldn't say shaken, but it keeps him a little bit off balance. He's got his phone. He's no matter what you say, you cannot give 100% to A and still look at B.
Drew's a unique one too because he's got the built-in defense of I'm a doctor,
right?
Which
right.
he constantly uses,
right? But it's nothing
but
to
it's
do
never,
with that.
It's never that.
It's never that, and whatever it is where you go, oh, listen, I can check my tweets. I'm still listening. You know, it's like, yeah, you are, but 20% of you is over here or 18% or if you're really good, 7%, but it's still not 100% here.
Right.
It's a little bit's over here and you think it's 10%. It's more like 40%, but either way, why? And then, and I do believe this is like the prescription painkiller thing, which is people aren't immune to it. Like I said, there's people that they don't drink, they don't smoke, don't worry about it. Not with the pain pills. Mm-hmm. And it ain't, well, once you get out of high school and you haven't lit a cigarette, well, then you're not a smoker and you can get on with your life. Oh, no. This can grab everybody mm-hmm. and it can grab you at almost any stage in life.
Yep.
And it doesn't really matter what your station is in life. You're just a truck driver or Dr. Drew. It's just, you're in. I would caution against it. And I think the first step is have horrible reception at your house, like me.
There is something that's being your handing force.
My phone is sort of useless, and I sort of get off it in the garage, and then I go in the house, and I just shut it off and throw it on the charger and go in the next room.
Well, I definitely
see. And watch endless amount of internet porn.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
I find myself romanticizing, you know, watching 80s movies and even 90s movies where they don't have access to that, even Seinfeld, and watching where someone doesn't have a cell phone and going, God, I'd love to do that. I'd love to be in a world where nobody knew it existed, but we're so beyond that.
Well, try going home at the end of the evening and shutting it off. I know if you use it as your alarm clock, it's
yeah, like a buy $5
put on airplane mode or whatever.
Siri, remind me to turn off phone when I get home.
It sort of keeps you distracted from what's going on in your own head too. I find myself there are times like I'll be on the subway, and in the past I would have just sort of daydreamed or thought about what was. But now I just go to the phone, so I don't have to think about what's going on in my own head, maybe.
When did they get Wi-Fi in the subway?
It's been for a while.
Because when I lived there, I was like,
well,
at least I don't
have to. Some of them don't, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So maybe Drew's afraid of what's going on in his own head.
Ace, to solve your alarm clock problem, you can just put it in airplane mode so it won't receive calls or texts.
Yeah.
It's a tall order. There it is. It's a tall order.
I just use my little digital timer. I would, this is why, the opposite of this, although you can use your smart device for it, is, put on a little classical and go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Take your pet for a walk, put the classical music on and go
some
right
toes
your
in
your own
bossy.
Head. Yeah. Some toes in a bossy. Yeah.
TA as you call them.
Yeah. All the household names.
Yeah.
All right. Let's bring it home to you.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Here's some technology you do need. Simply Safe entry sensors, motion sensors, glass break sensors. Make your home a burglar's worst nightmare in under an hour. And hook it up, put the sign up in the window, and stop the burglar from coming in the first place. Pre-programmed to work right out of the box. Just plug in the base station. It'll talk you through the whole process. Look at that. Talk about technology. The entire system is wireless. No need to drill holes, pull wires, and do all that stuff. You go month to month. No long-term lock-in contracts. No hidden fees. Just $14.99 a month. Plus, 24/7 professional monitoring and emergency dispatch service. So, do what I do. Do what Dawson does. Do what Mike August does. Don't wait another day. Go to Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. SimplySafeAdam.com. Get 10% off your home security system. That's SimplySafeAdam.com. Get 10% off your home security system. All right. Still number one on the iTunes comedy charts. Me and Des Prager, everybody. That is No Safe Spaces. You can check that out on iTunes and Amazon, amcroll.com. Just $4.99 for about 100 minutes worth of mirth and thoughtful discussion. Corolla Drinks, you can go to. Lynette's going to be heading out and hitting the road and find out where she's going and say hi to her. Just go to CorollaDrinks.com and check out the Spike Show as well. And you can go to amcroll.com if you want to be in the audience and all that, answer your questions and that stuff. The T-shirt, I Agree With Me, available right now. Limited time, so go to amcroll.com. It's on mugs and everything, too. Tulinski. Brad Tulinski, Play It Loud, an epic history of the style, sound, and revolution of the electric guitar, available now at Amazon. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, guys.
And David Wild as well. Check out the BG special Sunday night, CBS, 8 o'clock. So until next time, it's Adam for David and Brad and Gina and Ball saying mahalo.
What if they see stuff?
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Phone number if you want to leave us a voicemail, 888-634-1744, and subscribe to Take an E. You'll get a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click on the link at adamcarolla.com. Gina Grad is on the Classic Rock Morning Show. Weekday mornings, 5 to 8 a.m. at 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles, California. And for everything Adam Carolla, visit adamcarolla.com.